Hello, I'm Jean-Marc Dugan. I've just returned from Azovstal. Join me in this place. I'm going to show you where the hardest battle of the 21st century was fought. I'm going to take you deep into the catacombs. Now, if you like this video, make sure you hit the like button and subscribe if you want to see more of my content. And if you want to become a patron or you want to donate, there are links below. This is content you're never going to see in the Western media. You're only going to see it from me. So let's go. How many people died in here? I couldn't even tell you. Gotta be a lot, though. Gotta be a lot. Every building that was occupied, people are just gone. Weapons everywhere. Yeah, I don't know what this fucker is. It was some kind of weapon. Yeah, so, smell the shit, the piss, the gunpowder, explosives, all in this place, it's all mixed in one. Azovstal. Man, place is wrecked.
As I walk through Azovstal, I think about all the Ukrainian fighters who died here. Who were these people? Were they valiantly protecting their homeland, as we've all been told? Or is there something else at play? Since 2014, the Ukrainian military and integrated Azov battalion has engaged in a violent campaign against their own citizens of the Donbas region, for resistance to Ukrainian laws and traditions that discriminate against their Russian language and heritage. The result has been the brutal slaying of over 14,000 innocent men, women, and children in this region that continues even to this day.
They shooting for us from aftermaths. Yes, Ukrainian. We see it. Ukrainian don't help us anyway. Ukrainian shooting for us. They killing our people.
The fact conveniently ignored in the West is that these nationalist far-right extremists have engaged in training American extremists and were so feared by the American government that Congress acted to designate them as a terrorist organization in 2019. The violent extremist who murdered 10 innocent minorities in Buffalo used the same symbolism in his rantings of hatred and his social media postings and on the American weapon he used to commit his atrocious crimes. Now, between this incident and the Uvalde incident, the outcry from the American people have been loud and clear, yet the silence has been deafening.
Hey guys, I just want you to hear what I hear from my hotel room. The bombing. Damn. Hitting this beautiful city hard. Check this place out. Hold on, I'll flip it around. I got my microphone, so I'm gonna mix it in with this video because the camera mic sucks. Now, can't really see much from here. I'm like a little quiet.
This is the sounds. This is what... Jesus Christ, that was a close one. Welcome to Donetsk. These people have been living this for years now. When just a few days later, the Ukrainian military carried out three school shootings in Donetsk. Not with AR-15s, but with American-made 155 howitzers from a distance of almost 40 miles away. That's right. Schools 13, 22, and 33 were hit on the very last day of school in Donetsk. However, because other bombings in the region, the celebrations had been canceled, and luckily, most of the kids celebrated remotely from their homes. That doesn't mean everybody escaped. Two teachers were killed, and one student, who had no place to go, was killed.
So this is a school, children's school in Voroshilov district in Donetsk region. It was bombed by the Ukrainian forces, probably with the weapons the West is always sending. As you see, there is just a people's district, no military facilities or anything. So people are hating the administration of, well, Biden, the West, European Union, even more and more. Because here, there were, well, just two people killed, the teachers, but the children were at online, you know, distance education this very time. So they were lucky, but the atmosphere is tense here.
Yeah. The American people are starting to become aware what the American government is sponsoring, and what message do you have for those people?
Но может быть американскому народу стоит объяснить своему правительству, пусть решают свои проблемы, не лезут чужие. Не надо им лезть вообще на Донбасс. Мы живем в своей стране, ну им тут делать однозначно нечего. Пусть оружие свое оставят при себе. Школы должны учить, а не от снарядов разгребать.
A little bit what happened here.
Incredibly, on the 13th of May, there was an attack on the school.
Mm-hmm.
We need to note that there is no military object here. So it's a civilian part of the city. There is no arms, there are no army. And it was bombed massively by the Ukrainian side. Actually, there was U-Smersh to attack the place. And the pupils were all in the online distance education, and the teachers were here. So two of people of the school were killed, 20 were injured, more than 20, that's 20, who officially addressed the hospital. This is incredible because it's very symbolical. This school was built in 1949. In 1943, it resisted the fascist occupation and the fascist bombarding. It resisted. In 2022, it was bombed by the same fascists with the other face, with the totalitarian Ukrainian side, which does this in order to do the psychological destabilization. There is no military object. What is the aim? The aim is to destabilize it by the civilians. This is something like we can call the copied bombardments. They are cruel. They have no human feeling in themselves.
Yeah, but so this is 2022, but this isn't the first time this has happened in this city.
Yes, actually, that was happening during 8 years. So this is a thing which happens every day, every week. While it was in 2014, it happened. Then it happened from time to time. And now the strikes and the bombardments intensified. So now we can witness that every day. And if you're here and you stay here in Donetsk, you will hear how they are attacking Donetsk. And you will understand that they're attacking the regions, which are the regions where there is no army, where there are civilians. And they had received from the West the artillery, which gives you the possibility to strike really far.
Yeah. In fact, last night we heard 155 being utilized against the city.
Yes.
And just a few minutes ago, I heard an explosion.
Yeah, actually, when you are in Donetsk, you hear it every hour. Actually, it's very intensified, and according to people who live here permanently, this is really now a hard phase of the bombarding. Before, they were bombarding Kyivsky Rayon, Petrovsky Rayon, but they were not touching the center. Okay. Now we can hear.
I just heard it again.
We hear it. And for people, you know, they live here, they are still extremely pro-Russian. They're extremely anti this Ukrainian Western nationalism, which is a total fake, which is like something incredible, like a theory of aggression, like an apology of aggression, religion of aggression. And that is not changing people's mind. It's making them to be more favorable to the resistance.
Yeah.
So that gives courage for them. And I think this is the people, the children of Donbas, these are heroes, small heroes. And many of them says, when I will be old, or when I will grow up, I will go to battle with the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
I wish them good luck and courage.
You know what I found interesting is every time I walk around the city, you don't see young men in blue jeans and button-down shirts. You see like kind of the dress code here for like bars and restaurants. Tactical pants and tactical shirts. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, because people understand that this is war, and this is the war not only between Ukrainian and pro-Russian side. This is a war of two ideologies. This is the globalism against anti-globalism. And in order to defend your own ideology, your right for being Russian, for speaking Russian, they have to war. This is the clash of civilization, if we can use the terms of the Samuel Huntington's concept. This is really a hardcore conflict, which was provoked artificially by the Western forces and by the globalists. So all this is the clash of civilization, and the problem is that from that side, from the side of the Ukrainians, there is their religion, they're obsessed by the aggression.
Hey guys, Jean-Marc Dugan, live in Azovstal. I'm gonna be taking you through a walkthrough of an Azov battalion bunker that was here. We're gonna see lots of Western weapons. We're gonna see lots of radical symbolism. And, you know, I wish you guys could be here because there's something that you can't experience here, and that is the other senses. When you're here, you smell the blood. You smell the death. You smell the cordite from the explosives and the bullets that were fired. And you know, as bad as this image might seem to you, it doesn't even begin to convey exactly how much destruction there is here. Yeah, this place has seen some better days, that's for sure.
Stop.
John Mark, how's it going, bro?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, great to see you again.
You too.
With Sergei in place.
We are in the Azov Stalin, liberated from Ukrainian army, and it was a very important symbol for all the globalist world and for all the media. Actually, what is interesting here, when you come here, you can hear the symphony. The Soviet director, Ziga Vertov, had realized a film, Enthusiasm, the Symphony of Donbass. And here, we can hear the symphony on Donbass. The Azov Stal is liberated as of steel, and it is liberated not only from Ukrainians, but from the globalism. Now it's Russian.
We see those huge destruction of Azov Stal, this notorious factory. And it was a huge and fierce fighting between the Russian forces, and it was very difficult to take it over from those notorious Azov right-wing organizations, which is, of course, prohibited in many states. But this is what we are seeing, and nobody knows what they are going to do here. Most likely, this will be destructed till end, and no use of Azov Stal anymore.
As you can see, this place has been bombed like mad. It was months that they had the Ukrainian forces holed up in here, forces including Azov Battalion, which are heavily integrated with the Ukrainian forces. So this is kind of a result, as you can see. Look at that clip of AK round right there. Boom. Yeah. Actually, shit. That's not even AK. What is that? That's that's 5.56. Your impression?
I think Ukrainians were very good prepared because they had here the bases. They were actually ready to follow the war from 2014. There was the aim to take under the control the Crimea, to take under control also Donbas region, Lugansk. And I think that as we can analyze the catacombs, we see there that there are a lot of medicine, medicaments. They knew how it works, how Zastal is working. They had done big sniper spawns, which shows that they were professionals. They knew this territory, they were ready to fight, and they knew that there will be the fight. So it was well prepared. Stal is incredibly big, so we just walk here, and there are a big network of the corridors, so they could go from one part of the Azov Stal to the other without any problems. So they were using that. And if you really analyze Azov Stal plan, you can see that there are minimum 6 floors under the ground, 9 floors, and it is a whole city under the ground.
Oh, shit. things. Anybody else have a light? Sorry. So, Jean-Marc Dugan here. We are in the catacombs of Azovstal. We are the first journalists in this place. You will not see this on any Western media whatsoever. So, you're the first journalist here. I just want to point out some weapons to you. We got one for a javelin right here. We got an enlaw. Here's the case for an in-law. I think it's for an in-law, yeah. Case for an in-law. An old American AT-4. You can always tell those on the side because they have a little tube. The way you sight those is you shoot a 9mm round out of this tube first, and if it hits metal, then you know you're on sight. So, actually, it was kind of a fun weapon to use. Loud as fuck, too. So... yeah, but so here we are. Cool, huh? Yeah, you're not going to see this anywhere else. All these different weapons here. We still got a javelin left. And AT-4, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
You were an American soldier.
Yeah.
Do you think that Ukrainians... know how to use javelins?
Well, I mean, they were instructed.
How long do you need to be instructed for that?
Well, technically, the class is a 40-hour class, but it doesn't require 40 hours to figure out how to use a javelin. I mean, I could teach somebody how to use it proficiently in 10 hours.
What is your now feeling about these catacombs? How do you feel in that?
Oh, I mean, you smell the history of what was here. You smell... blood, you smell maybe burnt flesh, you definitely smell the gunpowder and explosives that were here, and you smell it all around. It just saturates and permeates everything.
What is your most impression from this visit?
Well, that they could use some better housekeeping. I don't know, just... the fact that my government would support people like this is disappointing, I guess you would say. Disappointing, it doesn't even really come close to the actual word that I would like to use. But I can't think of a word that is so profound. So I'm just going to say disappointing. And I hope the American people can see what our government is doing to these people. I mean, fuck, so many innocent people have died here in the Donbass region, not just during this conflict, but for 8 years. And everybody's turned a blind eye to it because, you know, our government or our kleptocratic politicians in our government were making money off of it, you know? So they never wanted to... they never cared who they were giving these weapons to. And it's, it's sad for me.
How much is a javelin?
Cost? Mm-hmm. Last time I saw, the missile was $235,000. And the command launch unit, or CLU, which is like this little computer in sight that attaches to the side of the missile, I think that's about $150,000 or $200,000.
And this is javelins next to you.
This is an enlaw.
Enlaw.
Yeah.
It's used for what for?
Well, it's the British version of the javelin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there is javelins.
This is an AT-4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what this is. It's some kind of former Soviet weapon or something. Is it Swedish?
Mm-hmm. And that one.
Mm-hmm.
When you there.
What, this?
Yeah.
Well, this is the case for the javelin.
It's USA.
Yeah, it's USA right here. And
how many years you should be educating the javelin system in order to be a professional in it?
You 140-hour class. You can. The javelin's. It's a complicated weapon, but once you know how to use it, it's very easy to use. And we can see that in some of these videos. It's incredibly effective. But if you don't use it right, like, for instance, if you don't kind of designate the stadia, designate your target properly, it's not very effective. But generally speaking, if you know how to use it well, it's very effective.
Well,
so Daria, you know what you're sitting next to?
I'm sitting next to the javelin and something from the NATO countries, as usual. I think what we can find on the Ukrainian positions. And the problem with this stuff was that actually that the Ukrainian soldiers was not very well educated for using it, and that also caused some problems. But there is information that there was instructors from NATO countries, which was also presented in Azovstream. Now the information about this is a secret, a confidential information, but still it is extremely interesting. That will be soon told to journalists and told openly. And well, the atmosphere here is, as my friend Graham Phillips said, it's like a black energy. So you really feel that there's something catacombical, and these books which are all were there with instructions to the participants of the anti-terroristic operations which were held by the Ukrainian army, and all these Nazi symbols, it gives this such a really atmosphere of misanthropy. So this is a perfect place for misanthropical persons, and Azov and people who was here, they are the misanthropes.
Oh. We got guys here from the military. A military. You see anything good over there? Это интересно? Интересно?
Патроны.
What is it?
Rounds.
Rounds. Ah, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, shit. A whole big bag. All my gun nut friends back home. You want some bullets? We got a whole shitload of them here.
Да, ну ты бы аккуратнее это все. Поднимал и бросал. По-разному было с такими вещами.
Oh, nifiga себе, что за flying?
Офигеть.
Yeah. You want to say something about that?
Fucking hell.
Uh-huh.
You guys are cool team now, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the scene from 5 to 10 with all the Nazi stuff.
Yeah, so what's up with that?
Fucking hell. Get out of town. Just when you thought that they were making some of this shit up. Fucking hell, what?
Yeah, that's a big ass flag.
Fucking crazy. Офигеть.
Yeah.
Украинского националиста. Свою принадлежность азовцы определяли предельно точно.
Yeah, what's the symbolism of 14?
That's the binary for Heil Hitler.
Ah.
And here is
Zelensky. I guess they don't like Zelensky. They're fighting for the guy though.
No way. I forget.
What's the deal with that?
Insane.
Why they got him on a dartboard? Get yourself up, man. I'm not carrying you out of here.
This is a declaration.
You want to say something?
Yeah, we are just in the middle of Azov Steel and in the catacombs, which were very known for their so-called resistance of Ukrainians. We see here a lot of nationalist literature, and what's interesting that they are all the Russophobic works. So this is recent works from 2014, which were issued in Ukraine and which are quite hardcore anti-Russian. We see here a lot of Nazi symbolism, and we see also the darts with the head of Zelensky. There we can see it, and like they were putting the darts into this board. And you know, the feeling here, well, it's quite okay. I think they were a bit not too discomfortable. Like you have bed here, you have this literature, and of course they were motivated. They were very aggressively motivated. What is symbolic is that one of the warriors of Azov, where we can see the picture of he was with the name the Satan. This is very simple.
Seriozhny super finale.
With over $500 million American dollars stolen and stashed overseas, laundered from the aid money given to Ukraine, Zelensky betrayed his country for his American masters and caused thousands of innocent people to die. Though they could hardly be considered innocent, many of his forces died right here in Azovstal.